I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 40. The Wayne Taylor Racing, Acura, ARX06, GTP car, Dex Imaging, driven by Jordan Taylor and Louis Delatraz. And on occasion, Colton Herter. Car was victorious at the Sebring 12 Hours. Sadly, that car is moving on from Wayne Taylor Racing over to Meyer Shank Racing.
Mm-hmm. It's going, going back to Meyer
Shank. Back to Meyer Shank, yeah. Yes. Yep. We will, along with a, they have one new car too, I guess. So they have two car effort, you know, obviously you have a backup car. And we'll talk more about that lineup, which was announced over the weekend. Tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR at the Roval. Cutoff race. We're down to 8. I know you're excited.
Very.
Was a little bit of controversy for the post-race DNC.
There's disqualification? There's no controversy in NASCAR. It is only...
Never.
Only the product they want to put forward.
Yep. That's correct. It's the second coming of the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk IMSA, season finale, Petit Le Mans. A fantastic finish once again. The final 2 hours of that race do not disappoint. The whole race doesn't disappoint, but the final two are just, the level just gets amped up.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like it on that track because it's so freaking dark and the elevation changes and everything. It's awesome.
Yeah. Key word there, dark.
Dark. Very dark. Like spa dark. Sebring dark. We'll touch on the great race down under, the Bathurst 1000. It was truly a race. There was minimal yellow flags. One did come at the end of the race to kind of set up the final 30 minutes, but a fantastic race overall. As it always is. Run just under 6 hours. Pretty cool. And then we'll talk news and notes. And look ahead to this weekend to Kota. We'll have our picks. Yes. Demon Nate has sent his picks in.
Yeah, he has. Not like he has a day later or anything like that.
No. he has his picks in. We'll make ours. We'll also look ahead. Well, we won't look ahead, but some other racing events this weekend is NASCAR at Las Vegas. We'll have 4 hours of Portimao this weekend for the ALMS series.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about that. Fantastic track.
That'll be good.
And then for you diehard YouTube race fans who need your fix over the weekend nights, the World Touring Car Championship concludes at Zhuhai in China. All right. Let's go to the Roval. And one word, Kyle Larson, or two words, sorry. Kyle Larson, or Young Money, Domination.
Yeah.
One on the road course, cemented his place into the final 8 with the win. I know we had kind of talked about this, the track prior to the show. Not our favorite. Not our favorite. They changed it up this year. Added a hairpin, which was just dumb. It's just dump city. It's like, why couldn't they just make a serious point? You know, Or what is it now?
Sonoma.
Sonoma. It's to the point to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, or Infineon or whatever.
Oh,
anyways.
Infineon. No, Infineon. It's now Sonoma. It was Infineon.
Infineon, sponsors of the Audi, great Audi.
Yes.
What do they call those? Hybrid H1 car? They weren't GTP. They weren't LMDH. They were
LMP1.
Hybrid. LMP1. Yeah, sorry. Jeez. It wasn't that long ago.
Really? I'll be honest. The other day, I had a complete brain fart that those cars existed for a bit just because of how good the racing in today's prototype class has been going.
Yeah. Well, I was less than thrilled with the changes that NASCAR made to the track. I mean, if you want to watch guys get crashed into and stuff like that, that's fine. The redo of the last chicane with the overly huge curbing that sent William Byron into flight and into, I think it was like Chase Briscoe. And then damaged both cars, and then ultimately led to Byron being disqualified because they feel that whatever happened there was what caused the car to have the weight issues. So some of the weight in the car may have fallen out. Mm-hmm. We had the backside chicane. Yeah, okay, not that great. The hairpin was dumb.
The backside, I mean, if they're going to continue to race at this track, the track has gotten better since the first iteration of it, but I feel like they've made changes to this track every single year.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm always by the point that I think they should just forego this track and just pick up a real race track road track.
Like Road America.
If you're gonna do that. Road America would be fine. I'm sure there's plenty of other Roval options out there that you
could go. What about VIR?
I would go to VIR.
That would be
madness. That would be fine.
Either one of those would be insane.
I mean, honestly, if they want, actually, I wouldn't. If you want to keep a Roval on the schedule, I really don't mind that Daytona Roval that they did.
It was the whole track.
It
wasn't.
Well, and then they added in a chicane.
I hate that. I hate that.
No.
And you get the, well, they can't stop the cars. But then I'm going, guys didn't Mazda MX-5s
I know.
In a five-car, like a 50-car draft are able to maneuver through that, get on brakes and wear them out and stop the cars. I mean, I agree with you. I'd say go to Daytona and run it at night.
Not to mention the Daytona 24 historics that they run as well.
Yes, so, right. That'll be in December. Yeah. That would be. Yeah, I mean, jeez.
Yeah, I don't. Anyways. I don't buy that argument. But they want is a.
They want a crash fest.
Yeah.
You know, action. You know, puts the contenders in peril, and all that. It's kind of stupid, but anyway.
I mean, for the only thing I will say is, even though that hairpin was it did exactly what it intended to with the chaos it created. Not that I think that it was a good chaos that it generated. However, there were a few shining moments of that corner. Number one, the move that Larson made on.
Larson,
Allmendinger for the lead towards the end of the race. I thought that was very good, well executed, and dove into the inside. It looked like he locked up the rears a little bit, but got it slowed down just enough to park it right in front of Allmendinger, stick it on the apex of the corner, and drive off. Nothing wrong with that. No contact, no nothing. It wasn't dirty. Super clean. If that's how it is the entire race, and they enforced penalties for hitting guys and spinning them around, mainly spinning them around, I think it would be fine. But it's not, so you can just take out whoever you want and not worry about a penalty, because the only penalty that you're going to get is whenever you inevitably have a caution, the field bunches up, and the guy you took out starts headhunting you. Which, yeah. Not a fan of that approach.
No. All right.
Anyways, enough of NASCAR.
Yeah. just to talk about it, the top 10, we had Larson, Bell, Byron, Cindric, Elliott, Allmendinger, Van Gisbergen, Logano, Darrell Wallace, and Ryan Blaney. And Byron gets bounced because of a post-race infraction. He falls out of the chase. Logano, who fell out, is in. And Tyler Reddick gets a 10th place finish.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we just take a quick peek at the championship points as we head to Las Vegas? Which I'm expecting our winner this weekend to be our winner next weekend. Or he'll be in the top three. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So Larson leads at 4,052. Bell's 20 points behind. Reddick, 21. Byron, 20. Oh, no. Byron stayed in the points. Oh. Who got bounced? Oh, Bowman got bounced.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Sorry. Byron stays in. Well, good for him. He got hosed. Was it him or Bowman? Who got bounced? That was a. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyways.
Bowman got bounced.
Blaney, Hamlin, Elliott, and Logano are your top eight. And so we head to Vegas for the next race in the chase. We have three races to eliminate four drivers.
Yes.
And we come to championship weekend at Phoenix. Ugh.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. About as inspiring a track as could be. The only good thing is that Martinsville is the race before.
Oh, okay. That's how they're doing that.
Yeah.
Well, no. I just was reminded that the MX-5s, that their Martinsville race is coming up soon. But their race is the weekend before NASCAR gets there, because that weekend prior is also when the wheel and door modified cars go there.
I thought they were running the same weekend as the NASCAR guys. No.
It's next weekend is the. Is the Martinsville race for the MX-5 cars.
Did I maybe jump the gun? I'm sorry. No, well, it's Vegas, Homestead, then Martinsville.
Yes. No, you were right on the NASCAR schedule. But I didn't think the tour the modifieds run the same weekend as the NASCAR. I thought they do it as a preview. Well, yeah, like a preview weekend.
It is. You're correct. Saturday, October 26th. That'll be fun.
You know, I might watch the modified race over the NASCAR race in Homestead. I think that's what I'll do.
Yep. Is it a one race or two race event?
Checking.
It's usually the two race. Yeah, usually the two races.
Just
100 laps. We'll join the 200 lap wheel and modified tour. Oh, that's actually a good race weekend to go to. Because the modifieds are awesome there. Oh, and the winner gets a clock.
Everybody loves
that's pretty clock. Cool. I think Dale Jr. is going to run. What do you think?
In the MX-5 race?
Yeah, he wants to.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
Somebody's gonna.
Oh yeah.
Imagine if it was Larson. That would be hilarious. He's got nothing to do. He wants to run.
Well, if he
wins this weekend, he could just cruise in and out of Michigan and pipe it, right? Anyways, they'll probably come up with some rule that he can't do that or something.
Oh yeah, because he's.
Yeah, anyways. But yes, you are correct. All right, we're looking forward to that. All right. Okay, we talked enough NASCAR.
Yeah.
Look forward to the modified and MX-5. That's and real NASCAR.
But that's not this weekend, next weekend.
Next weekend.
So we...
The 26th.
We got to get through Vegas first.
Yeah,
and then,
Vegas.
And then all right. Next week. We're a little early on this news, but...
All right. Let's get to the season finale of IMSA, Petit Le Mans.
Yes.
10 hours. We've ditched the 10 hours of 1,000 miles, whatever comes first. We covered 443 laps, and our winner was the Chip Ganassi Racing Cadillac V-Series R of Renger Van de Zander, Sebastian Bourdais, and Scott Dixon. And it was the Chip Ganassi Cadillac farewell to IMSA.
Mm-hmm.
As CRG goes on to hiatus, we don't know where they will reappear. There are several manufacturers looking to join IMSA.
Mm-hmm.
So, we shall see. Second place went to Porsche Penske. Penske Porsche of Nick Tandy. And third went to Philippe Mazur in the number 7 car. Fifth going to BMW. So, top 5 finish for them. And then the other Cadillac from Whelan Engineering finished 5th. Good stuff there.
I'm sorry, BMW finished 4th?
Yes.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Tough weekend for the Acuras.
Yeah.
I finished 7th, and
Ricky Taylor's.
Yeah, I'm trying to find when they get bounced to. They finished. Jesus. Hold on. Finished 41st, 9th in class.
Yeah, I mean, they got bounced after an on-track.
Dubious contact.
Yeah.
On a, I think, a poor decision from race control.
Mm-hmm.
That particular car had control of the race and had the optimal strategy, so I think that would have been one of our, or if not the contender for the other teams to beat.
Yeah.
So tough way to go out there.
Mm. I mean, ultimately he just came out of the corner at the bottom of the S's and went to
it was
to
in the dark
one of the traffic and
there was a spun car sitting there.
Spun car sitting there.
He had been sitting there for
nowhere to go.
Yeah, and that car apparently had been sitting there, according to drivers and teams, for over 30 seconds. So I don't know what race control was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So and it was a bad spot. That was not a good spot for that.
Mm.
Especially if you're tucked up underneath the car and you do what Ricky did when you pull out and you're like, oh. The end of the race, fantastic, with late race drama resulting in the leading car having its headlights go out.
Yeah. that was probably one of the most
amazing things I've seen.
It was so exciting and tense the entire time.
So they would flash on, they would be on, and then they would suddenly go off.
Yeah. So obviously,
and you never
knew
when they came back.
Whatever connection was in between the front
was in
nose
the car.
And
yeah.
the main part of the car was not
was
snug.
Loose. Yeah, not snug. They apparently there is another override switch, and they told them to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it worked, but then it. It did start doing the same thing, but he definitely ran the risk of, if he went one more lap with it out, he would have been black flagged.
Oh yeah, easily.
So I think good fortunate break for them. Terrific driving. Just added to the drama of the finish. So
I mean,
and it was a beautiful late race pass into turn one that Van de Zander put on Nick Tandy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to take the lead. So well done.
But yeah, I mean, just to have both headlights go out as you're coming down the back straight, and then you go through, you come up over the hill, down the start finish line, then you go back up the hill to go through for the next lap, and then not have the lights come on until he was somewhere out in the back hairpin at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. Probably,
crazy.
There's so much darkness to to go through and just commit that you're going at just about full speed too at that point in the race, because you can't slow down.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, just definitely one of the more exciting things to happen. And plus, it's true darkness. It's not like it's not any of these FIA Grade 1 night race tracks that they go to where everything's lit up. It's no, you're in the dark.
You're in the dark.
So,
All right, let's move on to LMP2. Need 1 second to find it. It was number 11, Orica, with Mikkel Jensen taking the win, followed home by the 74 Hunting Ranch Orica of Philippe Fraga and, was the rally car. That's what it was. Connors Village finished third. Once again on a podium somewhere racing. In GTD Pro, the Lamborghini won. Fantastic.
In GTD, Pro. That was, because then in second was the Rissi.
Yep, Daniel Serra. Hi, we just show up and finish on the podium. Don't mind us.
Yeah. did they win
a race this year?
No. Did they win the Endurance Cup?
I don't know. I have to go look. I just have the season points. And then Aston Martin, Harder Racing, finished third. In GTD, Alberto Costa Balboa won for Conquest Racing in their Ferrari 296, followed by Luis Spinelli in the Lamborghini second, and then Aaron Tielitz and Frankie Montecarlo finished third in class. I'm sorry, they finished fourth in class. Yes, no, they finished third in class, sorry. So there we have it. Let's just move over to the points, final points of the year. Dan Cameron and Philippe Nasr are your champions, followed by Matthew Jaminet and Nick Pandy, followed by Bardet and Van der Zander in the Cadillac. So, good overall there. LMP2. Nick Boulay and Tom Dillman won the championship, with Frager and Gar Robinson second. Dial and Stephen Thomas third. GTD Pro. This is a battle all year.
Yeah.
And this is what's even more crazy. So Lauren Heinrich in the Wright Motorsports car went five laps down in this race. Fought back
due to some mechanical electrical problem.
Mechanical issue. Yeah. Fought back. Then got caught up in the mess that Ricky Taylor got caught up in. Team sort of fixed the car, got it out, finished enough laps, and therefore he won Lauren the championship. So, I'm sorry, that was the AO car. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, but but Lauren Heinrich had
a few different
co-drivers throughout the year.
Co-drivers,
he's the sole champion.
After Seb Priol left.
Yeah,
Seb Priol left because of multimatic reasons. So, anyways, Ross Gunn was second in the Aston Martin, and then Garcia and Sims finished third in the Cadillac. I mean, Corvette, sorry.
Go ahead and do GTD.
Go ahead. GTD.
Yeah.
Philip Ellis and Russell Ward in the Windward Racing car finished first in the points, followed by the Turner Motorsports guys in second, Robbie Foley and Patrick Gallagher. And then Mikhail Grenier finished third in the other Mercedes. So that's our point podiums. IMSA is done for the season.
Yes.
Except for MX5.
Rissi finished second in the
Endurance Cup.
Yeah.
Nice.
Two points behind Paul Miller Racing in the BMW.
Classic battle there. That's fantastic.
And then
and they only show up for the endurance races. That's even better.
Yeah, and the endurance The endurance races, it's five of them that was this year.
Yeah.
It was Rolex 24, Sebring
Oh, yeah.
12, Watkins 6 hour, the
Indy.
6 hours at Indy, and Petit Le Mans. So
Yep.
those are your five races that make up that championship, which is a nice one within the championship
Yeah.
to do. But
Yeah.
yeah, and then I guess just to touch on the other classes, where is it? Windward took the win, or I'm sorry, took the Endurance Cup Championship in GTD, and in GTP, the number seven, Penske Porsche, won handily, actually, in that one, comparatively to some of the other classes. And
That's
then
excellent.
in LMP2, it was TDS.
TDS. All right. Right. So PR1, right? So they're going to, they
no.
all get an opportunity to go to Mons if they want.
No, no, no.
Oh, no. Interpol. Oh, Interpol.
Inter-Europol.
They won the championship.
Won the championship. But
right.
TDS took the Endurance Cup.
Endurance Cup.
Yes.
So I think the championship winners. Yeah, I don't know how it works, but anyways. So anyways.
Yeah, there's
bunch
there's
of cars.
Bids,
bunch
bids
of
to
teams
go.
could be going.
Yeah, there are bids that IMSA gives out.
Right, and teams
To
don't
go to
all
Le Mans.
necessarily take it because of
Yeah.
the cost of it and things like that. So, anyways, it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, so we're off for a couple months. We go to back down to Daytona for a November test. Then they're off until the Roar, and then the season starts. So January. All right, Bathurst, the 1000, the great race on the great on the mountain. congrats to Brody Kostecki and Todd Hazelwood for the win. Started on pole and won the race. Finished closely by Brock Feeney and Jamie Wincup, and then Will Brown and Scotty Pye. The Red Bull team was nipping at the Erebus heels. So, good race, though. It was very much caution-free. There was a couple cautions midway through the race, but the caution within the final 30, or just around the 30-minute mark, everyone came in the pits, made changes, and we had a 30-minute shootout on the hill. So it was fantastic. We had no interventions from kangaroos this year or wallabies. So, good time.
Yeah.
All right. And for you supercar fans, they are off to the Gold Coast next for the 500. Ooh. And I believe that's another endurance race. So they use two drivers. That's always fun. All right. Let's move on to news. Michael Shank Racing has announced their driver lineup for their Acuras. It is a familiar pair in the lead car of Colin Brown and Tom Blomqvist. In the second car, it will be Renger Van Zander moving over from Wayne Taylor to Michael Shank. And Nick Yellerly moves from BMW to Acura. I think... not sure what to make of Van Gazander and Yellowly, but I think Braun and Blomqvist are a formidable pair.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Have to be seen on the other two.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting to, because who was? Oh no, it was Ricky that was, Ricky Taylor that was, Delatraz's teammate when Wayne Taylor just had the sole Acura, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the Taylor boys are not contracted to there was talk that they thought they were Acura drivers, but actually they're actually contracted to Wayne Taylor Racing. They have a choice. They could have picked, but they chose Wayne Taylor. So I think Jordan stayed with the he's obviously coming over and racing the Acura last 2 years, but now going to be running the Cadillac, so he's back to GM. So
yeah.
So we'll see. And they ran GM products for a long time too. So in the early days in Grand Am and stuff. So it'll be interesting. Don't have Much else in sports? Oh, other than Lamborghini is, I think they're trying to figure out if they can do two cars in WEC. You know, without compromising being in IMSA for just, you know, for the endurance championship. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the American market with Lamborghini is huge.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talk about maybe they might forego the WEC program and go to IMSA, run the endurance cup and maybe a couple other races, and then maybe a full season attack, because they don't need to have two cars in that series in WEC in IMSA.
No, you're
mandated two cars and three drivers in WEC, right? For next year.
Yes. Yeah. Which the two car rule is getting iffy to some extent, because now you're limiting the amount of teams that can come in and join.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's like, no. You know, and put an entry in. If you're a factory team, you want to run two cars, great. If you're a factory team, you want to run one car, fine. You know, yeah. Abide by the three driver rule, and who cares?
Right. I mean, it is. Well, I mean, I guess it's good and bad, because on one end we've been harping on Cadillac to get a second car over there.
Second car, yeah. And now they are.
And not yet. Well, now they have to. Which is,
and it
is
looks
good,
like,
but I mean, it
have it they does, announced who the formal drivers are over there for Jota?
No.
Okay, because the thought is now that Bourdais like not driving anything, that he'll probably be in the WEC series next year, driving for them. So, since he knows the car,
right?
So, anyways,
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk, because yeah, you want some manufacturers to have two, or you definitely want multiples mm-hmm. of all the cars for sure. Then if you just have teams that will come in and help run the program with factory support kind of deal, I think that's a good option too. But I mean, you also run into some of the growing pains that I think you saw Porsche have when they, with their first year of the LMDH, and then also, because mm-hmm. at the same time they had their new version of the GT3 car as well. So I think they probably spread themselves pretty thin in that mm-hmm. go around, so the process of just getting up to speed took a little bit longer. But I mean, they've clearly figured it out, so it's not like it was going to be something impossible for them. But I mean, just taking that same idea with other manufacturers that don't have the capacity that Porsche does, and Porsche is very customer racing. Oriented too.
Yeah, they have a focus. So, oriented.
So I mean, doing that is definitely within their business model. And you know, if it's not going full steam ahead right away, like it'll take some time, but they'll get there. But with other programs, like it is kind of a question of if you can get over that hump. So I mean, if Lambo is really spread thin between mm-hmm. Trying to get the hypercar program to do its thing, and then also just the normal support that they offer for the Super Trofeo series around the globe, like that's a whole nother thing in itself.
I mean, you're right.
There are plenty of products, there's plenty of products that these manufacturers offer, just aside from this top level car, and it is an added expense too when you're doing it at the premier spot of sports car racing. So just gotta get with it and roll with the punches. So
that we do.
I hope every manufacturer can figure it out and get two cars in the race, because I think two is always better than one, and it's nice to have a friend. If it's not the same team running the car, like how it was with Acura and Meyer Shank at the time with Acura, it was still nice to know that you could, if they were a little bit open to each other, to try and find general speed when both cars couldn't find anything on the same weekend. It's nice to have that option available to you to just get some kind of info to figure it out. So,
all right. I think that covers our news item. So we move on to Formula One. Look ahead to this weekend.
Yeah. Back in the U.S. Coda. At COTA.
And the championship, Drivers' Championship battle continues.
Yes.
All right. So, I don't know. You know, just kind of playing it by ear here. Waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's an odd... This championship is becoming flipped upside down.
Yeah, on a weekly basis.
And it's odd to... Like, the points battle hasn't been flip-flopping back and forth at all. But it's just the fact that McLaren has this sniff of a chance to win the champ. It looks like they'll take the... the Constructors' Championship. Assuming that Red Bull is... Assuming that both Red Bull and McLaren's form are going to continue the way it is.
I
don't know what Red Bull has in store, or if they have anything of updates, or have figured out what's wrong with the car, because they've apparently identified that they found the root cause of the problem. But we'll see how much it actually... benefits and gets turned around. But I mean, even though it seems like, oh, Max and Red Bull just have this championship locked up, and you know, it's whatever, it's really not. And it's been one of the more exciting seasons since 2012, I would say, where you had just the multiple race winners, and just about any race weekend you're turning up and you don't know who's going to win. And it even has some shades of 2009 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely you're definitely seeing the payoff of this cost cap era.
Yep.
Where teams are figuring it out, and the bottom teams are figuring out, or at least the ones that can. Mm-hmm. I mean, McLaren is not a bottom team, but they've been in the bottom for the past few years. So to see them figure something out and march their way forward and get over that hump of being at the front of the midfield to now winning races is good. But you're also seeing the issue of teams like Red Bull that even though they have all the money, like, you, if you just waste your opportunities and you don't realize it, then you're going to be on your back foot pretty quick.
All right. So, shall we do our picks?
Yes, picks for the week.
All right. Demon Nate, you're up.
Nate got his picks in, and he has gone with a McLaren 1-2. With Lando taking the win. He's also had Leclerc in third, and he's picking Liam Lawson as his dark horse.
Dark horse, okay.
So
I am going to go with Leclerc.
Leclerc, all right.
Yeah, actually, sorry, take that back. I'm going to go with Sainz.
Okay.
I'm going to go Carlos. I'll probably regret that pick. I will pick Max second and Checo third.
Alrighty, and your dark horse?
My dark horse, I'm on the Yuki train still, will be Yuki.
Alrighty. I've gone for Hamilton to win.
That's a good pick. I wouldn't be surprised if he won.
No, but I could...
I could see it like he has a crap weekend too.
Yeah, it's going to be one of two ways. He could either win the race or he's going to be like six or eighth. Yeah. Like it's
or it's just cars out of contention type thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then I'll go with Leclerc second and Norris will be third.
Okay.
So
your dark horse?
And my dark horse is going to be Colapinto.
Colapinto. All right.
Yeah.
But I mean, the race is on
Sunday.
The race is Sunday, and for you fanatics here in the U.S., it is on ABC, not ESPN, unless you have the F1 app and you don't have to listen to Sky Sports.
Yeah. I guess they'll do it that way. Yeah,
that's how they'll do it.
It is going to be 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so
that's, and which is exciting.
Yeah, so I mean,
very exciting.
Look, if
it's going to be taking football and NASCAR on, so we'll see what happens.
Yep, get your quad box set up on your TV.
Unfortunately, I'll be using the app, my count won't be going against defeating NASCAR, but for those of you on ABC, you'll be defeating NASCAR. So,
but yeah, I mean, I guess
it wouldn't shock me if they drew a bigger number.
Yeah, just a small note. I mean, like, even looking at our predictions, like, none of us are picking Max to win.
No.
So I mean,
could he win? Sure.
Yes, he could. Like but the fact that we're all picking someone different of any of these four teams is great as well.
It's speaking volumes. Yeah.
So I mean, it's that shows.
The one thing that we don't know is what the elves at Red Bull did over the 4 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
We shall see.
The not mandatory vacation.
Vacation where you could work on the car.
Yes.
So
actually, yeah, that is a very good point. Like this has been 4 weeks. You can actually work without having to worry about running to get a car together and to the track. I mean, I know they have to ship the car overseas, but I mean, still, it's a lot of time in the world for them.
Yeah. Anyways, and on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.